In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, and instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit may be truly wise, never rejoice in his consolation, through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Volunteer.
Pray for us.
St. Ignatius.
Pray for us.
St. John Mary Vianney.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
I listen to a passage from Hebrews chapter 5. Every high priest is taken from among men and made their representative before God to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He's able to deal patiently with the ignorant and erring, for he himself is beset by weakness. And so, for this reason, must make sin offerings for himself as well as for the people. No one takes this honor upon himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, it was not Christ who girded himself in becoming high priest, but rather the one who said to him, "You are my son. This day I have begotten you." In the same way, it was not Christ who was glorified, who glorified himself in becoming high priest, but rather the one who said he is, said to him, "You are priests forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days when he was in the flesh, he offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. He was heard because of his reverence. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And when he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Declared by God, high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord. Good evening. Pass out the copies now. Yeah, we're going to be working on this for a couple weeks, and I'm probably going to go off on a tangent this evening, so hold on to it. What I'd like to start with today, so hold on to the sheet for today and for the next few classes. Mary made a lot of numbers for us to work upon. Given that tomorrow is a very, very important day for the parish as well as for the oblates, I'd like to talk about the priesthood today. So invite you to not to be looking and playing around with the sheet. I mean, that's always a temptation, no? If you could listen to me, okay? I know maybe it's a penance, no? Listen to me rather than try to make airplanes or whatever with your sheet, okay? Okay, talk about the priesthood. If you really want to get to know the priesthood, you have to read the letter to the Hebrews. Okay? There's probably no better book in the Bible that explains what the priesthood is, starting from the priesthood of Aaron, who is the brother of Moses, up until Jesus, the high priest. And, of course, that refers to us, who are extensions of Jesus, the high priest. Okay, first, let's give a brief summary of the sacraments, and then we'll talk about what is this whole idea of the priesthood. Okay, there are seven sacraments in the Catholic Church. Protestant Church, we got two. We've got seven sacraments. And the seven sacraments are baptism, confirmation, communion. You've got then the sacrament of the sick, confession. Then you have holy matrimony, and finally you've got holy orders. Those are the seven sacraments in the Catholic Church. Now, those seven sacraments were instituted by Jesus Christ. Sacramentals are instituted by the Church, but the sacraments were instituted by Jesus Christ. Important that you specify sacramental. The Church can create, what would be a sacramental? Blessing. Cross. Candles. Holy water. Yours truly, this is sacramental. Okay, my habit, okay? My scapular. My rosary. Okay? The blessing I give you at the end of the Mass. Exorcisms is a sacramental. Okay? The statue of St. Joseph. Sacramentals are important. But sacraments are obviously, hopefully obvious to you, are much more powerful than sacramentals. Sacramentals should try to lead us to the sacraments. So the seven sacraments can be divided into three categories. Okay, and they are, first, the sacraments of initiation. And it's good that you memorize this scheme. Sacraments of initiation are baptism, communion, and confirmation. These are the three sacraments of initiation. So technically, kind of laugh a little bit, but when we have our teenagers confirmed, I mean, they're supposed to be adults in the faith. Supposed to be, okay? And we got to be honest, they really aren't, no? But they're supposed to be, okay? They're supposed to be mature adults in the faith, I still think, because I teach a lot of them, and I love them, but they can be pretty immature at times, no? Or downright goofy. Any teacher knows what I'm talking about, okay? But I would say, I think when my mom and dad were 15 or 16, they were pretty mature in the faith. I'm talking about 55 years ago. No? I think they were. Things have changed a lot in 50 years. No? And the other group would be sacrament of healing. Two sacraments. And there would be the sacrament of reconciliation or confession that heals us, and the anointing of the sick. Those are called sacraments of healing. Sin wounds us, Confession heals us. The anointing of the sect also serves to heal the soul and sometimes even the body, if that would be propitious for the salvation of his immortal soul. I've given the sacrament where after the person rebounds, it's almost as if there's a renewed energy in the person, he's revitalized. No? Okay, then we have two other sacraments, the sacrament of holy matrimony, and then sacrament of holy orders. What, Lupe? Yes. Holy orders and holy matrimony are sacraments of service. So initiation, healing, and service. So those who have chosen the sacrament of matrimony, you've chosen a sacrament of service. To be servants of life, starting off with that. Servants of life, saying yes to life. And then you should be of service to your family members. As they say in Spanish, a sus órdenes, no? What that means? At your service, right? At your service. So the two sacraments in which those who receive those sacraments should be willing to serve more than to be served. Okay, did you follow that? You should know that division. That's a good traditional division of the seven sacraments. Three of those sacraments you receive only once. Baptism, confirmation, and holy orders. And that means you receive it only once. And with that you receive what is called a character. Character is an indelible mark that is impressed upon your soul. So right now in this room, most of you have two marks in your soul. There's only one that has three. Okay? So I have three indelible marks, and I'm going to go before the judgment seat of God and into eternity with those three specific marks. No? Now once a woman receives or becomes a nun, making her perpetual vows, that is a sacramental. Okay? It's not a sacrament. And I'm not disparaging women, okay? It's just the way the Lord set it up. Okay, you receive sacramental when you put on your religious habit and you profess to be a faithful spouse of Christ, which is very beautiful, but it's not a sacrament. Okay? And I think that's good to know the distinction. Because Jesus did not women to be priests. So don't get angry. Okay? And John Paul II made a very conclusive statement, and it's not going to change. Okay? Women will never be priests. Okay? If Jesus were to have wanted a woman to be priest, he would have chosen his mother. Right? His mother was much more holy than the apostles, but she was not a priest. No? She was not a priest. No. See, the American feminists, you know, cry and eat your cake somewhere else, okay? It's not going to change, okay? Remember, I once went, I think it was to Holy Thursday, there's a group of liberal nuns outside the cathedral trying to promote, you know, ordination of women, no? So they're still out there today, no? They're a dying brand, but they're still flickering. I would just like to go like this and blow it up. All right. So there's a little bit of catechesis. So I'd like to comment briefly on that biblical passage that I read, and then see how far we get in talking about this wonderful sacrament that one of our deacons will be receiving tomorrow. Hopefully we'll be able to come to the Mass at 10 o'clock, okay? So, just for your formation, read in the book of Hebrews, rather the letter of the Hebrews, is if you ever have the chance, maybe spend time just reading through it and see all the different references to the priesthood, to the Aaronic priesthood, the priesthood in the Old Testament. You heard Melchizedek, a priest, according to Melchizedek, Aaron, Moses, no? Jesus Christ, the high priest. So this is probably the best biblical letter we have that refers to that reality. By the way, Protestants have pastors, but not priests. Okay? So they can read the Bible, preach the Bible. They can have a communion service with bread and grape juice, no? Or crackers if they like, no? But they cannot consecrate because they don't have holy orders. Okay, so are you listening? Okay, this is so at home later you can maybe read through this today or tomorrow. It's more than once has my spiritual director as a priest quoted this to me and read it to me. So, priest to another priest. No? Every high priest is taken from among men and made their representative before God. You do your whole holy hour just on that. For me, that's huge. It's taken among men, but made their representative before God. So you arrive at God through the priesthood, whether you like it or not. So obviously, what has the devil been doing the past 20 years? Trying to destroy the priesthood, right? Priesthood has never been attacked more, I think, in the history of Catholicism since the year 2002, 2003. So if you don't believe in the priesthood, you've lost your Catholic faith, whether you like it or not. That's why I think it's important, not because I'm a priest, but for your salvation, you got to pray for priests. Pray for the young man that's going to be ordained. You got to try to support priests. And also, if you don't agree with the priest on something, okay, meet him privately and tell him maybe what you don't agree with. No? Because priests make mistakes. Not publicly, but privately, speak about maybe what you don't agree with. Pray for him before and after your meeting. But also to be very diplomatic. Be a gentleman or a gentlewoman. Okay, when it goes on to say, they're represented before God to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. There's a lot in that, to offer gifts and to offer sacrifices for sins. What is the primary way in which the priest offers sacrifices for sins? Raquel? So, we're all called to practice some type of penance because we're sinners. But the primary and the most efficacious means by which our sins are going to be forgiven is through the high priest Jesus Christ, who exercised that priesthood. Every time a validly ordained priest offers the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Amen? We're sinners. And every sin we commit is an infinite offense against God. We can't repair for it by ourselves. Even if you were to do the most rigorous penances until the end of the world, still wouldn't be enough. Because every sin is an infinite offense against His Majesty God. But if your sin, offering your sin reparation, your sin expiation is done through the sacrifice of the Mass, then you get power. And this passage for me over the past 2.5 years has really influenced me, this one verse. No? Eventually it may happen to you that there's one verse in the Bible that kind of jumps right out at you and it grabs you. No? That's this passage grabbed me the past 2 years. It's one verse. No? In what way? When I have a free Mass intention, over the past 2 years, I mean, God works on all of us in a different way. I will place on the altar, right here on the altar, I'll place you and all of the sins you've ever committed in your life. Yeah? And then I will place them, and then I'll place you, so that's your past. I'll place you in the present. And I'll place you in the future. And I'll lift up the chalice, I'll lift up the host. So when I'm lifting up the chalice, I'm lifting up the host. That is the sacrifice par excellence. Now it's difficult for us to understand because this is all invisible. It's invisible. You can't see it with the eyes of the flesh. But the eyes of the faith, those who have deep faith, you can see it within the depths of your soul, what's happening. With your fleshy eyes, you just see a piece of bread and a little bit of wine. So what's happening is you are, okay, there I'm lifting up the host. And the chalice. With the words of consecration, with respect to the priesthood, the most important words I say every day are, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood. Do this in memory of me. And then other words that I say, I said them about 5 hours today. Today was in the confessional about 5 hours. Praise the Lord. No. And I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Those are the two most important words I believe that a priest can be saying every day. Amen? One is absolution, which the blood of Christ comes and washes your soul clean. That really happens. I've never heard any lay person tell me that, but I've said it many times as a priest. It's the blood of Christ, was shed on Calvary, is applied to your soul, and it's washing your soul clean. As we read in the Shakespeare of the Bible, his name is Isaiah, your soul, your sins, even though they be like scarlet, they'll become white as the snow. Isaiah chapter 1, okay? The Shakespeare of the Bible, Isaiah. Okay, so what's happening at Mass? So during the moment of the double consecration, there has to be the double consecration, otherwise the Mass is invalid, okay? It will be an invalid Mass. You're not going to be receiving the body and blood of Christ. Both the bread and the wine have to be consecrated. And if those words are changed, my friends, you don't have the Eucharist. The priest cannot tamper with those words. Otherwise, you are receiving bread and wine. So the rubrics say that we should slow down and say the words slowly, clearly. Okay? If not, we skip over the words, you don't have the sacrament. No? So as soon as that double consecration is said, what you have is that some of you have looked in my confessional on the wall. I have the picture of the apparition of Lucy of Fatima. Have you ever seen that? If you're hiding behind the wall, you're not going to be seeing that, no? You come face to face, right behind me, you see that is the vision that Sister Lucia de los Santos had in year 1929. July 13th, she was not yet a Carmelite nun, but she was a Dorothean nun in Tui, Spain. So Sister Lucia, she was a Carmelite, but first she was a nun in Spain, then the Holy Spirit moved her to want to become a Carmelite nun. But there on the wall, that was a vision she had in 1929. So that was 12 years after the apparitions when she was a child. That was 12 years afterward. And you see, you see Mass, basically. You see Jesus on the cross, and you see blood coming out of his side. You see the words grace and mercy. So if you really want to understand the Mass in a graphic depiction, I think that's the best you have out there. I have little cards in my confessional I give out. But as a graphic, artistic depiction of the Mass, what's going on, you show me something better. So the blood is coming out of the hands of Christ, his feet, his heart. Now, if you have a good memory and you're a good artistic interpreter, above Jesus you can see heaven is open. And you see what? You see God the Father there in heaven. Therefore, for that reason, celebrating the Mass and having a free intention which the Mass is celebrated, not implicitly, but explicitly in reparation for your sins and prevention for future sins, that's huge. I don't think there's any greater gift that I could give to you people than that. What do you think? I don't think that there's any other greater gift than that. Because I'm giving you Christ, but Christ as the high priest. Christ as the victim. Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's why a priest confessing another priest, because we have to go to confession too. Try to imagine your priest confessing a priest. What would be the best penance to give a priest? Okay, your next Mass, offer your Mass in reparation for your sins. Great penance. Thank you, Father. Great penance. A priest confessing another priest. Only thing that could be better for that would be do it 9 days in a row. A novena. So think about that. All the sins you've ever committed in your life, offering that Mass in reparation for them. Now, we're still tempted. So the fact that the part of the intention of the priest also was for your life until you die, that holy sacrifice would help you to avoid future sins. What does that mean? Now, honestly, this could be the case that you're going to have an almost overpowering temptation that it was going to just bowl you over. We all have temptations, right? And all of us know that some temptation can be very powerful, almost like a strong wind, almost like a hurricane. Some have more powerful temptations than others, no? But almost like a tornado, no? Yeah, a tornado, you're about to just blow you right over the hill, no? Now, you're about to give in to that temptation, whatever it might be, you capitulate. This is maybe 5 days from 5 years from today. Okay, the Mass intention that I said today applies to the year 2023, and there's the powerful temptation, but the blood that comes out of the heart of Christ is more powerful, and you're able to get up. Get up and walk away from the temptation. Now, don't pat yourself on the back. I'm going to end up by breaking your shoulder. But humbly thank God. Because it wasn't really your innate goodness or your sanctity, but it was the power of God. How does God mediate His grace? Through the person of the priest. The The high priest is Jesus Christ. But he chooses human vessels, yours truly is one of them, as a means by which this grace is being mediated. And pray for me that, because I really feel I'm just touching the tip of the iceberg. But I really, as a priest, I want to go deeper into this concept. I feel God has given me a lot of lights and just a lot of consolation in this idea. Yeah. It's embarrassing to say. It's maybe 32 years, no? But it's more and more how obvious it is now that, my friends, we're saved through Jesus Christ, the high priest. But the power comes through the Mass. Comes through Mass. So what is Jesus doing in the Mass? He's there on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. So let's go back to what we said 15 minutes ago. Now, all of your prayers and penances, they're great. They're great. But you're offering, you know, your prayers, your penances, your fastings, your headaches, whatever it might be, very pleasing to God. But if you offer that in just by itself, that's not enough to get you to heaven. But if you're offering that, as we said in our retreat, you offer that, placing then that on the altar. Then I lift up the chalice, I lift up the host. Your suffering and sacrifice is united to the sacrifice of Jesus, the high priest of Calvary. And what's happening is God the Father is looking down. He's looking down with rose-colored glasses. And he's looking at you with love through the wounds and the heart of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "Behold my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." You are seen through the wounds of Jesus Christ. And in that, God the Father loves you with an irresistible love. You follow me? Therefore, it may not be the case that your confessor says for your penance that when you go to Mass and offer your communion, but I would say all of you who are listening to me right now, every time you go to confession, whether the priest gives it to you or not, offer the next communion you receive in reparation for your sins and those of the whole world. What I think is going to happen is all of you who are listening to me tonight, you're walking pretty well in your spiritual life. But if you do that well, you're going to grow wings and you're going to start to fly. Right now you're walking. Some of you are even running. But you're not flying yet. That's going to give you wings. You're going to be transformed into a human eagle, okay? Like St. John the Evangelist, right? You're going to start to fly. That really could happen. And I'm not speaking metaphorically or as a poet, no? So the definition that our friend Fulton Sheen, he's our friend by now, right? He gives very good definition of the priesthood. He says that the priest is the victim who offers the victim. He's the victim who offers the victim. The victim in capital letters. Capital letters. Victim who offers the victim in small letters. Last night I had a group in Spanish and I was talking a lot about this. They said, in a certain sense, all of us are called to be victims. And I'm not saying like victim souls like Padre Pio or Josefa Menendez or St. Faustina. Or St. Therese. No? There are victim souls of God's justice and of His mercy. There's two different types. So none of us should presume that we are victim souls. And by the way, Jacinta was a little victim soul. John Paul II said that in her beatification. Remember once when I was talking with one of my spiritual directors when I was about 20, we were talking about the topic of victim souls, and he said he once knew someone that offered himself or herself to be a victim soul, and the suffering was too much, and she went crazy, no? So, you know, don't... She went crazy. You know, it was too much. You know, but she offered herself as a victim soul. You know? So I think it's a good idea not to offer yourself as a victim soul before you talk with your spiritual director. No, and he may not give you permission. Okay. Probably most of us have enough suffering in our lives that we don't have to ask for any more. Right. Fulton Sheen says, our neighbor is our hair shirt. Maybe our spouse, okay? Do you know what a hair shirt is? So they used to wear these shirts that have little, like camel's hair, and it'd be scratching you and itching you. They used to wear that, and they used to give themselves the discipline. But like, even though probably most of us are not called to be victim souls, but we're called to offer up sacrifices. That yes. So I guess where I'm really heading with this talk is appreciate the priesthood of Jesus Christ, appreciate and pray for priests in general, but try to penetrate more deeply into the mystery of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. I'm going to teach you something right now. And it's something that's pretty simple. I'm not going to say it's easy. But if you can get in the habit of doing this, you're going to be living out this biblical passage. You're going to be living out what Vatican II speaks about two types of priesthood. Okay, one is called the common priesthood of the faithful, and the other is called the ministerial priesthood. They differ from ministerial priesthood, those who have holy orders, the sacrament. Common priesthood of the faithful, all of you have that if you're baptized. That comes from baptism. Now, I'm going to give you an example that some of you are going to be probably feeling comfortable with it and probably emit a little bit of nervous laughter when I tell you this. No? But I think it's good that you hear this. Okay, you go to Mass. And you arrive at the Mass. Okay, let's say 3 minutes late, okay? You participate in Mass, you receive communion, stay afterward and you receive and you say the rosary. It's a good Mass. Every Mass is good, no? But your participation, pretty good. But what would happen instead of arriving 3 minutes late, you arrived 5 minutes early. And when you arrive, you're not just there kind of like a zombie, but you make a good genuflection, okay, you're kneeling in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and you might do this. You pull out your rosary, and you pray the fifth luminous mystery. You know what that is? You pray that. But this is what you're doing. Okay, you're praying you're praying one decade. It only takes 3 minutes, 3-4 minutes. But every Hail Mary that you pray, every Hail Mary that you pray, you're placing that Hail Mary, that intention, on the altar. First Hail Mary, you're praying for a soul in purgatory. Second Hail Mary, you're praying for the Pope. Third Hail Mary, you're praying for the conversion of a deathbed sinner. Fourth Hail Mary, you're praying for someone in the world who is about to commit suicide because of total despair. They're out there, and more than you're aware of. A lot of people living almost on the precipice of despair. I hear it. Fifth is, you're praying for a family member who has walked away from the church. Sixth one, you're praying for another family member that's walked away from their church. Maybe there's a lot of them. Seventh is, you're praying for a young man that's about to say yes to the priestly vocation, but he needs a little bit of a push. Okay? A little bit of a push, a little bit of a kick, okay? It's called prayer kick, okay? Then you pray, you place on the altar, Lord, bless me today, give me a lot of peace and joy. Nothing wrong with that. The ninth is, you pray in reparation for your past sins. We said that already. Finally, last you say, well, Mary, I want to place the 10th intention in your hands, in your Immaculate Heart, and you can choose it. Okay, my faithful friends, was there a difference between the two scenarios, or they're just the same? Is there a difference between the person who arrives 3 minutes late and the person who arrived 5 minutes early? It's just a matter of 8 minutes. Now the first person may arrive a little bit late because of traffic or whatever. You know, not saying that that person will not receive graces. But the other person that arrives 5 minutes early and is recollecting him or herself by giving the Mass to Mary and giving these 10 specific intentions to Mary, really the graces you're going to receive out of that, you can barely calculate them. Is that a good idea or not? What would happen if we did that? What would happen if we taught our children that? What would happen if we taught catechism children to do that? What happened if we taught our teenagers to do that? The concept is this. In every Mass, the Mass has infinite value. And the graces are infinite. And therefore you're taking. But God respects our freedom. He's not going to force you to do that. He's not going to be coercing you. He's not going to treat you like a mule, no? Latigazo, huh? No. God doesn't work that way. It's like if I were to say, okay, after this talk, in the sacristy, there's a huge recipient. It's a huge container that has 1 billion diamonds, and each diamond is worth $1 billion. You can take as many as you want, but you have to get on your feet. You got to walk. You had to walk past me, you'll probably knock me down. Stampede to get in there, right? Then you have to open up your hands. You have to turn your hands over. And with your claws, well, I shouldn't say your claws, with your, you're not, with your fingers, you delve in. That's what Mass is. But it's not 1 billion diamonds. It's the precious body and blood of Jesus Christ, which is worth 1 billion times more than anything in the whole universe. We could only, tomorrow's a curie of ours, right? In my ordination card, if you ever received it, I have, maybe some of you, I've given you probably my ordination card. I've got two quotes, right, from St. Louis de Montfort. I am all yours, the totus tuo, but also the definition that the curia of ours gives of the priest. The curia of ours, we celebrate tomorrow, was so moved at the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And after the Mass, he would be pointing to the tabernacle and say, he is really present there in his body, his blood, his soul, and his divinity. And tears started to stream down his cheeks because of his deep faith in the reality of the real presence. For that reason, Fulton Sheen at the very end of his life, you know, he retired as a bishop. I mean, he retired, not as a bishop, but as an active bishop in the Diocese of Rochester, New York, so that he could dedicate himself, the last stage of his life, to offering up his open heart surgery and what followed from that, his suffering, but then to be able to preach to priests and bishops. That was the end of his life. Priests and bishops. And he would say, hey, when you guys preach, the people don't always listen. When I preach, people listen. Because of the hour of power. Amen? In his 60 years as a priest, more than 25 as a bishop, he said he never missed one holy hour in his whole life. The hour of power. As Fulton Sheen said to the priests and bishops, if you want to transform others, you have to allow Christ to transform you. And how are you transformed? By contact with Christ. You know, we imitate people. We imitate people. Their good qualities as well as their bad. Now, if you're spending an hour with the Lord of Lords and King of Kings all the days of your life, you're going to be transformed. And that holy hour that we're talking about is what? That is an extension of the Holy Mass. The holy hour is an extension of the Holy Mass. It's not really separated. Well, it is, but it's an extension of it. The fruit of Holy Mass is on the altar in the monstrance. That's why in the retreat I gave you an acronym. PEARL. PEARL. What does that stand for? My retreatants, you remember. I hope you do. P stands for prayer. E stands for Eucharist. A stands for adoration. R stands for reparation. L stands for love. Amen? You like that?
Yes.
P stands for prayer. E for the Eucharist. A for adoration. R for reparation. And L stands for love. There's a good summary of the Catholic life related to the whole topic. We're called to pray. Prayer has to lead us to the Eucharist, to the High Priest Jesus Christ. And after that, we have to spend time in adoration. Oh, come, let us adore Him. R, what is that? The victim that offers the victim. R stands for reparation. Reparation for what? For sin. And that should lead us to love. And to love what God loves. And that is the salvation of immortal souls. Amen?
Amen?
Let's turn to Mary and ask Mary to help us to appreciate the priesthood all the more. We pray for this young man who will be ordained to become a very holy priest and be instrumental in saving many souls. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. Intercession of Mary and the Curie of Ars and St. Alphonsus, St. Ignatius, Father Lantarian, may God bless you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So hopefully you'll be able to come to the ordination tomorrow at 10 o'clock.